This first Sunday and first church service of 2025 is an opportunity for each of us personally to look back on the year just finished, to think about what we had hoped for a year ago, and did our hopes materialize? There's always, and especially in the world in which we live, a need for hope, a need for comfort in times of trouble, and a need for human connections in order to support each other through life here on this earth, and to fulfill the second great commandment, to love those whom God has created. This is not some new and unfamiliar exercise. This is an annual time of reflection, re-evaluation, and changing course if necessary. When I look back on just the last 2 weeks of 2024, I can hardly believe how much has happened in my life alone, good and bad, as well as happiness and sorrow. So I ask your indulgence as I give you a list of the strange, troubling, time-consuming things that battled for the short number of hours in each of the recent days. We had our daughter, Eden Ray, and Matt, most of you here will remember them, visiting us for 2 weeks, and it was, as always, a fun-filled, busy time of enjoying each other's company during the holidays. As usual, there was too much rich food and too many late nights. Both Andrew and I have spent the last week fighting colds, but we are grateful to have had their company and now have a quiet time to mend and heal. Of course, when they come home, they have a hectic schedule of making time for all the friends and family they still keep in touch with, all of whom have visited with them in Halifax. Well, during their 2 weeks in 2024, it was especially busy, because Matt's uncle passed away after spending a day with Ray and Matt, during which he had said he had felt really good for the last little while. He was only 72 and had been scheduled for a surgical procedure, but delayed it till the new year. He didn't make it. He passed away of a heart attack on December 22nd. And we found out that morning, just before we came to church 2 weeks ago. So when their family had a scramble changing Christmas plans and hosting meals, etc., then we had the funeral to attend. I had worked with his uncle for 30 years at the Calgary Board of Education. He was a wonderful man. Just less than a week later, I was scammed of $300. That meant time on the phone, changing passwords and banking information, and reactivating cards. In the meantime, Ray had met up with a friend of hers for brunch on Boxing Day, and they decided afterwards to go to South Centre Mall. They were diverted off Southland Drive and McLeod Trail because of that horrific accident, which claimed the life of a little 9-year-old girl. They were so close to the scene. The firemen, paramedics, and police had just started extricating the victims from their vehicles. We can only give thanks that they were not leaving that restaurant 5 or 10 minutes earlier. Then on Monday of this past week, our son's neighborhood was in the news for another tragic reason. It's really hard to imagine what drives someone to end the life of his father-in-law and then his young wife, before taking his own life and leaving behind little children. On Wednesday, we found out that an identical murder-suicide had happened in Halifax over New Year's Eve, and the young man's remains were found in the Halifax Common, a large public space in many older British towns, which is directly across the street from Ray and Matt's condo. The point is, life can be extremely difficult. Times are hard for many. Situations seem unbearable. And there is no hope in so much of the world. The scripture I've chosen today is taken from Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31 in the New International Bible. Do you know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. When we consider what the Israelites were going through at the time the scripture was believed to have been written, they definitely needed to have hope that God would be with them to strengthen and empower them to cope with the continuing ravages of war and conquest by the Assyrians, who were warring to take over the whole area and bring about the downfall of Jerusalem. Let's break down the scripture to see the positivity that comes from placing our hope in the Lord. The attributes that we need for security, comfort, strength, and hope are all mentioned in the fact that the Lord is the everlasting God, always there, never too busy or too far away to hear us. The dictionary definition of everlasting is enduring forever. He is powerful, the creator of the ends of the earth. He is understanding of our situations, so much so that we cannot even fathom anyone being aware to the point of knowing our thoughts, as Jesus was able to do with the Pharisees in Luke 5, verse 22. He can restore our strength when we are the most pressed down. He can grant us the power to overcome adversaries who are stronger than we are. Those who hope in the Lord will be able to get through the many trials and distractions that test us every single day. Hope doesn't take away the problems, but it does give us the strength to cope with them. If you've ever observed an eagle in flight, you probably felt awestruck at the majesty, power, control, and effortlessness as the beautiful creature hung on the air currents and maybe then dove straight earthward as it fixed on its prey. It is almost impossible to watch an eagle and not feel impressed by all that power concentrated in one of God's creatures lower in the chain than the human creation. From Roman times right down to the United States of America today, the eagle is used as the symbol of freedom, strength, and power. The kind of awesome strength and power that we see exhibited in the majestic eagle is the same strength and power that is available to those whose hope is in the Lord. We can take encouragement from the fact that if God is willing to give the strength and power that he does to an eagle, a creature who operates on instinct, surely he will empower us, created in his image, in our times of deepest need. In ancient cultures, eagles were revered for their strength and for their courage in dangerous, turbulent weather, where they were fiercely protective of their young and would carry them high above the storm clouds out of danger. Isaiah is not the first scripture where eagles are mentioned. We can read back in Exodus 19 where the Israelites, after they fled from Egypt, came to Mount Sinai in the desert. Moses went up the mountain and talked with God, who told him what to say to the people. In verse 4, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." It goes on to say that if they obeyed God and kept his covenant, they would be his chosen possession, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation among all the peoples of the earth. When we are in the middle of an illness, a loss, or hardship of any kind, it may be very difficult to hang on to hope. We can only see that wall that is there in front of us. Often there seems to be no bright future on the other side, no way that we can come through this and feel good about life. What we can learn from the scriptures is that hope is a very tangible thing. It has definition. It has a source. It has a purpose. It has a reward. The definition of hope is to desire with the expectation of fulfillment. We know from Hebrews 11:1 that faith cannot exist without hope, because faith is the confidence in which we hope for, in what we hope for, and the assurance about what we do not see. And we read in Romans 15, verse 13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." We can trust God to keep His promises because He has shown throughout all of Scripture that He will do the things He says He will. To name just a few, He promised Abraham, who was childless, that he would become the father of a great nation. God gave him a son in his old age, and the promise was fulfilled. God promised Israel that He would deliver them out of slavery in Egypt, and He led their millions through the desert to the Red Sea and on into the Promised Land. God, as the man Jesus, promised that He would send a Comforter, a Holy Spirit, to be with us after His earthly life was over. That promise was fulfilled on that first Pentecost, when the believers were gathered in Jerusalem as He had instructed. Because we have the record of promises kept in the past, we can have hope and assurance that the future laid out for us is real. The source. God is the God of hope. He is the source of hope. And because we have the Holy Spirit, that God living in us, we have the source of hope right here, whenever we need it. You remember how in ancient Israel, not everyone had access to the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could enter, and then only on certain days. There is no need for us to go through high priests to intercede for us. We have the Holy Spirit within us, everlasting, direct access to God. We find the purpose of hope in Hebrews 6:19 and 20. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Verse 20, where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf, He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. In the book of Revelations, in John's vision, we get some idea of the reward for hope. Revelations 21, verses 3 to 5. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." And in verse 5, "He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then He said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Amen to that. As we determined earlier, when God makes a promise, it does come to pass. In the next verse in Revelations 21, in verse 6, the speaker identifies himself as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. "To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." Aren't those the same words Jesus used in John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, when he asked a Samaritan woman at the well for a drink of water? John 4, verse 13, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again." But in verse 14, "But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The reward of hope is eternal life. When all things have become new and the old order has passed away. As we look back on the past year, we can be thankful that we have survived everything that came our way, no matter whether easy or difficult, health or sickness, plenty or poverty. That's just what life is. When we find ourselves in turbulent waters and the safety of the shoreline seems distant and obscure, we can take a lesson from the eagle. The power, the strength, and the freedom that the Creator God has made manifest in the majestic creature applies equally to us. This year, let's hope to take our focus off earthly concerns and know that we have an alternative that is sure and secure. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. We will soar on wings like eagles. We will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not be faint. May the Lord bless and keep you in this new year.